The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul? What's up, Paul? Most interactive show, and really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
My name is Patrick Crate, and I am the advocate for Paul Gallant on this Friday. ESPN 975, Paul Gallant Show. Sean Mapes on the other side of the glass, the master controls. You can find us on Twitter at PCrayton1, at Sean A. Mapes. Of course, 713-780-3776, 73780 ESPN, your HRMP listener line, on the text line, on the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/ESPN975, on the ESPN 975 app, ESPN975.com. Tell Google, tell Alexa, play ESPN 975. Take us with you everywhere you go. You know you like to. It's fun. It's easy. And you guys just can't get enough of us. Plus, you know, we're better. I know you guys like better. If any time you can choose okay or better, you're always going to choose better. It's better here. We're not beholden to any team and, you know, getting our content cleared and being told, oh, well, you guys can't say this, can't say that. Hey, can you? Yeah, no, we're independent. We are truly independent voices in the Houston sports scene. And that's part of what makes being here at ESPN 97.5 so much fun, is you're not restricted. Nobody blows up my phone.
Hey, Patrick, got to talk more Texans.
Nobody does that when I talk about anything other than the Texans. Don't have to deal with that anymore. Makes show a little more fun. I said, you know, Lovie Smith often said divorce. Sometimes divorce is a good thing. Then the Texans divorced him. That was also a good thing. But maybe the Houston Rockets also need a divorce. And I understand, look, Stephen Salas, he came here thinking he was coaching James Harden and John Wall, and this was going to be a competitive basketball team. That lasted like 8 games. The job very quickly changed. And I get maybe that's not fair to Silas because that's not what he was hired for. But the job very quickly became, this is a rebuild, and we need you to basically groom and coach and develop these young guys like Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green and Alperen Şengün, Jabari Smith Jr. And honestly, this is his second full season as a rebuild. He's had 2 full camps with young players. And I don't feel like these players are developing the way they should be. My biggest issue with Silas last season was that Jalen Green, number 2 pick, guy that we saw absolutely fill it up with G League Ignite, basically wasn't allowed to have the basketball until the middle of February. Silas was trying to, you know, push him to learn how to be a complimentary player, and learn how to, you know, catch and shoot. Here, you got to make sure you focus on defense. The reason you drafted Jalen Green is because you think he can be a guy who could just absolutely fill the basket up all game, every game. You didn't draft him to be, you know, a lockdown defender. Drafted him for offense. That doesn't mean he shouldn't play any defense, but it does mean you drafted this guy to basically lead your offense. Not giving him the basketball for 4.5 months was idiotic. And then when they did give him the basketball, you saw how much better he played the second half of the season last year. He should have taken a bigger step forward this year. And he hasn't. And I think part of that is the head coach. The record is basically the same as last year. They're going to be the worst team in the league. A second year in, they should be better, at least a few games better. They shouldn't be winning 20 games again. You couldn't get to 26, 27? I mean, look, I get the whole, look, it's a process, trust the process, it's a tank, but I still need to see guys progressing. They're not progressing a whole lot. And it does look like all the progression they're making is progression of their own volition. Here we are, year two, and maybe Alperen Şengün is the best player on the team. But there seems to be an aversion to featuring him way too often and for way too long. I get he's not a great defender. A lot of the European centers are not great defenders, especially when they're young. But he's a terrific offensive player, and he's a solid rebounder. He can block some shots, and he's got handles. He's a terrific passer. I just think Silas doesn't like running the offense to the big guy and isn't willing to adapt the system to do so unless, well, you know, the guards are all suspended. But if he's your best player, you've got to feature him. Nikola Jokic thinks he's a great player with a ton of talent. Why don't I see it enough from the head coach? It bothers me that Şengün, you know, a young player who's got a lot of upside, gets the fifth most minutes on the team. He's their third highest scorer, but he's got the fifth most minutes. Also, seven guys on the Rockets average 20-plus minutes a night. And Tari Eason averages almost 19. That's eight. That's way too many. 13 players are averaging over 10 minutes a game. That's insanity. This rotation is all over the place. And I should be seeing more from Jalen Green, who's not having a very good season shooting, especially from three. He's shooting like 33% from three, which he should be much better, especially when you consider he shoots nearly eight threes a game. KPJ shooting 34.5% from three. Eric Gordon, who's averaging nearly 30 minutes a game, why, is shooting under 35% from three, and that's his specialty. KJ Martin shooting 34% from three, and he's not a three-point shooter. They're not a good three-point shooting team. They chuck a ton of them. They're not a good three-point shooting team. But they're fast and they're athletic. And they should be using that. Getting to the basket. Because you know what? Green, Porter, Jabari Smith, Şengün, they all shoot free throws very well. Green averages six free throws a game and nobody else is at five. Go draw fouls. Use your speed and athleticism. Get to the line. Get 3 points the old-fashioned way. You don't have to just keep chucking threes, especially when you can't hit them. And I know Joel was talking yesterday about the meddling of Rafael Stone, and I firmly believe that all meddling by Rafael Stone is because Tillman Fertitta tells him to do so. But you know what? If you're Steven Silas and you were an assistant for 20-plus years and this is your first head coaching spot, have a damn backbone. You've been a coach for over 20 years. Your father was a coach for 40-something years. You're a legacy coach. Fellstone's not a coach. Tell him to get back in his damn box. He fires you, so what? You're getting paid? If he's getting in your way, if he's messing things up for you, tell him to go sit his ass down. That's on Silas. You've got to have stones. Now, Silas is a guy who's got grace. He has class. You saw all the junk that jilted lover John Wall had to say about the Rockets. And jilted lover, I mean, John Wall, if you listen to that clip, we played it last night, he contradicts himself three times. He makes it clear he didn't want any part of a rebuild. He said, well, I'm here to help coach these guys, but I'm not coming off the bench. All right, Melo.
He also does the, like, they got to earn their spot. Give me the starting spot. Like,
we tried giving you the spot. You break.
But also, like, I don't have to earn the starting spot. They have to earn the starting spot.
You know, if you could play 50 games, maybe you would, but you can't. That's the problem with John Wall. All right, can't play on back-to-backs, can't play 3 games in 5 days, can't play more than 25 minutes, or he breaks. My mind's a steel trap. Your body's made of feathers. And somebody's got a little squirt gun like they use on the cats, and they just spray you and you fold. This is your team. Either you command the team commands you. And I'm just not seeing him command the team. The next head coach is going to have to be a little stricter, a little tougher, a little more of a hard ass. But he's also got to take the guys who are designed to be the future stars of this team in Green, in Smith, in Şengün, maybe in Porter. Guys like, you know, KJ Martin, who are going to be important guys off the bench. If you get the number one pick, it's Victor Wembanyama. Man, if you can't develop Green and Şengün and Smith, why the hell am I letting you develop Wembanyama? The only decision here is, am I hurting the development of my guys more if I fire Silas or if I keep him for the rest of this season? Because there's no way in hell he can be back next year. I'm like at the point where if you fire Silas today, I'm good. I'm good because I don't see how anybody who replaces him could actually be worse. And look, if they do fire Silas today, whoever gets the job, they're going to be the interim coach. And they're probably not going to be here long term. They're just going to be an interim coach, which means they're here to try to develop these young guys and then move on to whatever their next young guy development type thing is next season. But man, 12-game losing streak after, you know, losing streak after losing streak after losing streak. You got Şengün saying guys feel like they're going to lose before the game even starts. That's on the head coach. If you're not fostering the right environment and guys all think they're going to lose, that's on the head coach. He's got to go. MLB Network has their top 10 right now lists for like every position. The Astros are all over these things. We'll get to it next.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Hall of Fame Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
I'm Pat Creighton, the advocate for Paul Gallant on The Paul Gallant Show. Today, a little different feel to the show today. Paul is back on Monday, correct? So what is Paul doing other than, you know, mourning the loss of David Crosby?
He is on a ski trip in, is it Breckenridge? Breckenridge? Is that the place in Colorado?
Basically sitting in the hot tub and getting hammered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But he's also doing some light 80s cosplay. Apparently.
What?
Yeah, he said he's dressing up like in an 80s, you know, ski trip kind of movie deal.
So they're trying to reenact Hot Tub Time Machine?
Basically.
I mean, only Paul.
I know, only Paul. With that mustache, too. Yeah.
Is he working the porn mustache?
Yeah, he calls it a beard stash because he keeps the beard very light. Like, but there still is a beard there, but the mustache is prominent.
Oh, yeah, so he's doing 80s porn stash.
Yes.
All right, well, yeah, good for him.
Keep an eye on the Instagram. I'm sure you'll be flooded with stuff.
It'll be interesting. I always, you know, get a kick out of Paul because, you know, Paul obviously is a bit of a fashionista. And he's very proud of his sock game and his attire. And the hair is always perfect. Like, I want to, like, does Paul go into relationships and, like, well, I'm prettier than you. You know what? You should chase me because I'm prettier than you. Like, I could see that. I could see that.
Yeah. Paul's like, you should ask me out.
Yeah.
What are you talking
about? I mean, I'm the prize here.
Yeah.
You know, like, what are you? So MLB Network's been putting out their top 10 players right now at every position lists. And so far, every list has an Astro. Last week, we talked about Chaz McCormick being number 10 on the center fielder list. And, well, we pulled the onion back on that. And Chaz should really be no lower than 8th and probably 7th. But taking a look through some of these other lists. So the third baseman list came out last night, Sean. Here are the top 10 third basemen, according to this MLB Network list. Number one, Manny Machado. Number two, Jose Ramirez. Number three, Austin Riley. Number four, the now very handsomely paid Rafael Devers. Number five, Nolan Arenado. Number six, Alex Bregman. Number seven, Justin Turner, who's like as old as I am. Number eight, Max Muncy. Number nine, Yandy Diaz. And number 10, DJ LeMahieu. All right. First thing off, how is Nolan Arenado not one? That guy should be one every freaking year. He's literally a Gold Glover and an MVP candidate every single year. He should be number one. Alex Bregman at 6. How do you feel about Alex Bregman at 6?
He shouldn't be lower than Devers, I would say. I think he should be a little bit higher. Maybe 4 or 5. I think he should be in that range. 6 seems a little low.
Even if you think Devers has a little bit of a better bat, Bregman definitely has a better glove.
Yeah, Devers is going to move to first one day.
Devers is going to move to DH one day.
Well, that too.
I don't really have a problem with Bregman being 6. I mean, 5, 6. I'm okay with him at 5, but I don't have a problem with him being 6.
It isn't as glaring as Nolan Arenado.
No. I have a huge problem with Justin Turner being 7. I also have a problem with Max Muncy being 8 since he's been a second baseman and a first baseman. How is he now number 8 as a third baseman? Yeah, I get some issues with the list, but I don't really have an issue with where Bregman is. I think 6 is a reasonable ballpark for him. First baseman list. This one's good. Number one, Paul Goldschmidt. Number two, Freddie Freeman. Number three, Vlad Guerrero Jr. Number four, Jose Abreu. Number five, Pete Alonso. Number six, Matt Olson. Number seven, Ty France. Number eight, Nathaniel Lowe. Number nine, Louis Arias. Number 10, Rhys Hoskins. How the hell is Abreu 4? We have Abreu ahead of Pete Alonso? Abreu ahead of Matt Olson? I think Abreu should probably move down 2 spots. That would put him at 6. You know what? If Abreu hits like the 6th best first baseman in the league, Astros stole him.
Imagine if he hits like the 4th. He's not on here because of his glove.
No,
it's all going to be his bat.
That's kind of why I'm like, all right, Abreu at 4?
Yeah.
I mean, we did see how he played last year, right? I mean, he hit for a good average, but the power kind of... You have him in front of 2 guys who rake homers.
When I saw this, I was like, oh my God. Like, this is the Shaquille O'Neal. I'm not familiar with your game. I apologize.
Yeah.
Jose Abreu, apparently you're awesome.
What is this man's name? Now, if you put this list up 4 years ago... Yeah, Jose Abreu would definitely be in the top 4. I think he's closer to 6 now, but only because they have him ahead of Alonso and Olson, who are legit power hitters. But look, you got a top 6, legit, a worst case scenario, you've got a top 6 first baseman after having a bottom 3 first baseman last year. Because, look, you didn't hit last year. Let's just call it what it is. We did center fielders last week. How about right fielders? Number one, Aaron Judge. I don't think anybody's arguing that.
Who?
Real tall guy.
Oh, yeah. I remember watching college football and that show is at bats. Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
Two, Mookie Betts. Three, Bryce Harper. Four, Kyle Tucker. Five, Ronald Acuna Jr. Six, George Springer, who apparently is not going to play center field this year. Number seven, Starling Marte. Number eight, Teoscar Hernandez. Boy, he is in for a rude awakening playing in Seattle after playing in the friendly hitter confines in Toronto. Number nine, Fernando Tatis Jr. Number 10, Hunter Renfroe. This list is so all over the place. How do you feel about Tuck at four? The homers are there. The steals are there. The defense is there. The batting average has not been there.
To me, it feels about right. Because he's not higher. Like, I love the guy, but he's not Betts. Maybe Betts. But he's not Harper. He's not Judge. And then him over Acuna, I like Tucker. He's a little more durable, and he's going to show up every game, more or less, where Ronald Acuna is kind of – he's in and out of the lineup, a little inconsistent.
Tucker also doesn't flop around like a fish out of water every time he gets hit by a pitch starting bench-clearing brawls.
Yeah. I will say the highs are higher with Acuna. I feel like he's good for a couple weeks every season where he just hits a home run like every night. But – consistent-wise, I would give it to Tuck.
I am interested to see how much the elimination of the shift raises Tucker's batting average.
That's also why I'm not too worried about the batting average.
I am surprised that Fernando Tatis Jr. is as low down on the list as he is, since he's – look, we know the guy can absolutely destroy pitching. I am surprised Bryce Harper is three because, well, Bryce Harper is going to miss half the season. And when he comes back, he's probably not going to play the field because he's having Tommy John surgery.
And he played DH for most of last season.
Because he needed Tommy John surgery. Yeah, he could throw.
Yeah, he should be on the DH list.
That's what I mean. Why is he as a right fielder? Because it's not at this position overall. It's right now.
Yeah.
Right now, Bryce Harper's not an outfielder.
And then Tatis is ninth, and he's played like probably three games of outfield. Like, I get he's going to be a outfielder next season, but by that same logic, Bryce Harper is going to be a DH next season as well.
So, Tatis should be on the list, but Harper should not be because, well, he's going to DH when he comes back in June?
Yeah.
July?
Or Harper should be on the list and Tatis shouldn't be. They can't both be on this list.
And the reason I say that is Springer was a center fielder. Now he's going to right field. He's on the list. Marte went into last season as a center fielder. The Mets moved him to right because they had Nimmo in center, so they moved Marte to right. That's why they're on the list for right fielders now. But if you're going to do that, well, he's going to be because Springer is going to be a right fielder. Well, Bryce Harper is going to be a DH. I don't think all the kinks were worked out on this. Here's the big one, though, right? Left field, number one, Yordan Alvarez. Number two, Juan Soto.
They have Washington listed by Juan Soto. They have the wrong team.
Yeah, well, again, this goes back to how much are they paying attention. Kyle Schwarber at three. Taylor Ward at four. Half the audience just went, who the hell is Taylor Ward? Randy Arozarena at five, Stephen Kwan six, Tyler O'Neill seven, Michael Brantley eight, Ian Happ nine, Eloy Jimenez at 10. They have two left fielders. And I think that's actually interesting because Alvarez and Brantley are basically going to split left field and DH. They're probably going to have about equal time out there unless Brantley's shoulder acts up or his ankle acts up or something else on Brantley acts up. But Yordan Alvarez over Juan Soto. Thoughts?
I like it. I like the idea of two top 10 left fielders. That's also got left field on lock.
This is...
Can't play them both at the same time.
Well, they're going to play them both the same.
I guess, not at the same exact time.
We're talking about right now.
Yeah.
Yordan had a much better season than Juan Soto did.
Yeah.
Yordan has shown massive improvement in the field. He has a strong, accurate arm, which, look, Soto has a strong arm, but I don't know about the accuracy sometimes. But Yordan has shown he can crank it up when he needs to, and he's very accurate in throwing, which he probably learned from Michael Brantley. Brantley does not have a very strong arm, but he is very accurate. And if Brantley comes back and he's hitting 300 with a 380 on base, he might only hit 10 homers, but if he hits 50 doubles, I don't care. The Astros' offense is going to be insane. And I am so loving that the Astros' offense is going to be insane because outside of Justin Verlander, it's almost the same exact pitching staff from late last year. You're going to lose a little bit with Verlander from the regular season perspective, but how much are you going to lose? Because, look, Verlander was definitely going to regress. Nobody's going to pitch to a sub-2 ERA multiple seasons in a row. He's going to regress. And Hunter Brown's going to get better. Oh, by the way, there was some guy, Christian Javier, I think is his name. He started 2 games that ultimately were no-hitters. One in the Bronx, and then one in the World Series in Philadelphia. He's kind of good. Kind of good. Just saying. Yeah, if anybody is thinking the Astros are not the World Series favorite in the American League right now, lay off the drugs. All right, Paul does a thing called reactions. We're going to do that next.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
I am Patrick Creighton, the advocate for Paul Gallant today on the Paul Gallant Show. Now, Paul does a thing called reaction. So we're going to stay true to the Paul Gallant Show format. And we're going to get some of these. So we're going to hit up the text line right now. One that says, better dunker, Muggsy Bogues or Spud Webb? Well, that's an easy one. Muggsy couldn't dunk. Spud Webb was the dunk champion. I feel like that was a trick question. I think they wanted to see if, there's a basketball Patrick that kind of goes along to baseball Paul.
Yeah,
I think they were checking.
Maybe better. Maybe they're just thinking like better little guy player.
Well, Spud Webb was the better dunker. Muggsy was actually the better player. His body held up better. apparently, that same question came in like 6 times. Is this normally what happens? Do you guys get the same thing come over and over and over? Somebody said, realistically, baseball savants know Altuve didn't cheat. But the average Joe thinks every Astro still cheats. That is probably not far from reality. But like I said, people just want to hate the Astros. They just want Orange Team bad. It makes them feel better. My team sucks, but Orange Team bad. The Astros kick my team's ass all the time, but you guys are cheaters. It doesn't matter that your team also cheats. They just still suck anyway. That doesn't matter. But, I mean, hell, look at the Dodgers. The Dodgers talk the most crap about the Astros. They go out and trade for 2 guys from a cheating team. They take one of those guys in Mookie Betts and give him a historically large contract. Then this offseason, they hired the video room guy that MLB pigeonholed as the guy who directed and ran the entire cheating scandal in Boston the second time. Yeah, he's on the staff now to go with Mookie. Oh, and J.D. Martinez, who was on that team and had a monster year as well. So you've got 2 guys from the cheating 2018 Red Sox in the lineup, and then you have the video guy who was working with the players and giving them all the information they weren't supposed to have. Nailed by MLB, suspended by MLB, and now he is on the Dodgers. But the Dodgers are squeaky clean. Yeah, there's an entire bag you can only eat for that one. Ocho said, hey, PC, we're about the same age. I hate to admit it, I've lost my love for the NBA. It's background noise as opposed to much TV. I don't even have League Pass anymore. That's sad. It is. It's a sad moment. And maybe, you know, when the Rockets are better or you know, when the Spurs are better. Maybe Ocho's a Spurs fan. I don't remember his basketball affiliation because I work nights. But I do think that if your team is down for a while, it does take some of the love of the game out of you. I think a lot of people were out on baseball when the Astros were in tank mode and refound their love as the Astros start to get good again and had some exciting young players to watch. Ocho said he prefers college basketball. And I think that's exactly what it is you don't have that NBA love because your team is just so hard to watch.
Yeah, there's not really a dog in the fight for most, you know. If you're watching the Rockets, it's like, yeah, I hope they don't lose 14 in a row. But
I mean,
at the end of the day, if they do, well.
It's tough when the team is down for a long time.
Yeah.
So I said, Patrick is the Paul Heyman of ESPN 97.5 from East Texas Poppy. Damn straight I am. Just not going to go bald quite yet. Not ready to give up my hair yet. Although I think I'm never going to have hair like Paul, but do you think Paul's ever going to go bald?
I don't think he'll allow it.
You think he's going to
by any means
go to
any means necessary?
Who's the doctor that John and Jake went to?
Doc Linville.
Yeah, they're going to go Doc. He's going to go see Doc Linville, but Paul's going to be like 60 when he has to go see Doc.
Yes,
Linville.
Yes.
On the text line, maybe the Rockets are smart keeping Silas the tank for Wembanyama. If so, it's working. Well, they got that part. They got the tank part down.
I'm not too worried about them hiring, you know, John Lucas or whoever as an interim coach and them winning too much. I think they got the losing stuff down. I don't think they're going to win too much and be out for Victor.
Yeah, no. Remember I said I thought Ocho, maybe because the Rockets just aren't very good, he's feeling down. Ocho said Jalen Green's ceiling is Jordan Clarkson and Jabari Smith is Robert Horry. That is brutal. I don't agree with that. I think both of those guys have pretty bright futures, but yikes. That's a hard
tough grader. Tough grader.
Somebody said, run it back with Van Gundy. Remember when with Mike D'Antoni, the Rockets average in the beginning, they averaged like, 118 possessions? With Van Gundy, they're going to average 18 possessions. How slow can we do this?
I would just pay money just to have Jeff Van Gundy like watch Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. like play basketball.
Oh, he pulled the little bit of hair out of his head left. Defense! Throw it to Shango! Defense!
Just yeah, be great.
Lose his mind.
I hope Jeff Van Gundy isn't the coach of the Rockets just because I care for his well-being.
He's a very intense individual.
I just don't want to put him through that.
I love Jeff Van Gundy. He is a very intense individual. Somebody said, what if Stone makes himself the interim head coach? A, he does not have the stones to do that. But
hey,
tell me that would not be must-see TV to watch him make a complete ass out of himself trying to coach the team. Come on, that would be hysterical.
That would be great.
That would be train wreck epic proportion. Also, it would get him fired. So maybe not a bad idea. If you're out on Rafael Stone, maybe not a bad idea.
Yeah, not against it. Not against it.
So I said Josh Christopher should be getting Eric Gordon's minutes. If Josh Christopher could hit the sink from the shower, he would be getting Eric Gordon's minutes. Because Josh Christopher is a ferocious defender, tremendous athlete, but he can't shoot with GPS. And I don't know why, because when he plays in the G League, he can shoot. And at practice, he can shoot. It's like Dwight Howard in free throws. As long as it doesn't count, he hits them. I don't know what the deal is with that, but he's gotta hit it. Robert and Tom Ball, thank you. Nolan could go down as one of the best third basemen ever. Nolan Arenado should go down. He's this generation's Mike Schmidt.
I was gonna say, of this era, he's the best of this era.
He's easily the best third baseman of his era. The guy's a monster. People just didn't know about it because he played in Colorado for so long. Somebody said, what's better, The Twilight Zone, Outer Limits, or Black Mirror? Well, the last time I watched The Twilight Zone, it was still in black and white with the old graphics, like the original Twilight Zone. I don't know what Outer Limits is, and I don't know what Black Mirror is. So, sorry. If you want somebody who is really, really up on current shows, I'm not him. The ones that are really long, I can't get through them. There's too much words to, too many words to read through it all. Somebody said the best part about Stone being a coach would be Joel would have a conniption on air.
That's awesome. I said I don't want Jeff Van Gundy to be the coach for his own well-being. I kind of want Stone to be the head coach for just to watch Joel.
I mean, why do you guys all want Joel to have a heart attack on air? I mean, Joel is a great dude. Joel would give you the shirt off his back if you needed it. And y'all, like, oh yeah, I want to watch Joel like have a heart attack on air. I want to see him. You know, I got to have Jeremy trying to learn how to do CPR on air on camera. Jeremy's like, oh, what do I do? What do I don't want to mess up my hair. What do I do? Hey, let me use the little bat. I can hit the little bat. Like that would that's what are you guys trying to do to Joel? What are you guys trying to do to Joel? That is cruel and heartless. And every one of you should be ashamed of yourselves. Go stand in the corner. Say 3 Our Fathers, 10 Hail Marys, and 5 Glory Bees, and make your penance. Every single one of you. And you know who you are. Can't believe you'd wish that on Joel. Cruel and unusual punishment. All right, garbage time. This should be interesting. Next.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Fun sports. This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
So, Texans are interviewing D'Amico Ryans today for their head coaching position. And important because a little over a week ago, there were reports that D'Amico Ryans would tell the Texans to go to hell. Obviously, that's not true. But D'Amico Ryans getting the interview today. And look, there are enough good young coaches looking for their first one, like D'Amico Ryans, Jonathan Gannon, Shane Steichen, Ahiro Evero. There are enough high-quality assistants in this coaching cycle. I know Sean Payton's a great coach, and I'm not trying to take anything away from Sean Payton. But when he was on with a loud blowhard on Fox Sports, he said he thought the comp was going to be a mid to low first round pick. Reports have come out since then that the Saints are looking for the John Gruden deal, which means it's going to start with 2 first round picks and go from there. I remember a long time ago, all the way back in 2021, when the Houston Texans didn't have a first-round pick or a second-round pick, and how difficult it made it for them to bring young talent in because the draft is the lifeblood of bringing young talent into a team, and you're not getting the best talent because you don't have picks in that range. The Texans are still a team that need large influxes of young talent. To give away one first, let alone 2 or 2 plus, is absolute idiocy. And, yeah, Sean Payton might be a great coach. He was certainly a great coach with Drew Brees. But when Drew Brees got out of town, Sean Payton got out of town. He didn't want to rebuild. And I don't think Sean Payton wants to rebuild the Texans. But the idea of giving up a first-round pick or multiple first-round picks for any coach on a team that desperately needs young talent is just abject stupidity. Go hire the best young coach you can. Move forward together. And most of the hot coaches who are in the NFL right now, who are head coaches, most of them are on their first jobs. So let's not think, oh, you know, first-time head coach, well, that guy's going to fail. Only fail when you don't give them the right tools or if you make a bad hire. They got to get it right. But let's get it right and not give away draft picks. Haven't we learned what happens when we give away draft picks as we did many, many moons ago, which 2021, very, very long time ago. All right. In keeping with tradition on the Paul Gallant Show, as I am the advocate for Paul Gallant, it is time to do Paul Gallant things. Garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Well, Tony Dungy is known as being a man of God. And as a man of God, he clearly hates gay and trans kids. At least, it seems that way. So, Tony Dungy went on the Twitters on Wednesday, answered a tweet that there's a bill being proposed in Minnesota that would put feminine hygiene products in the boys' school bathroom. Realistically, a lot of those things are going to wind up getting slapped on kids' backs. They're going to have their names written on them, maybe slapped on there like a name tag.
That was my first reaction. Was like, that's a bad idea, but not for like the reasons Tony Dungy thinks it's a bad idea.
No, it could be a bad idea because they're going to waste them. They're going to do stupid things with them.
I think of myself as like a 12-year-old. Like, oh yeah, I would have had some fun with that.
Somebody's going to have it like a mustache, or you have it like a beard. Like, let's just call it what it is. But Tony Dungy, he went all the way in and said, that's nothing. Some school districts are putting litter boxes in school bathrooms for students who identify as cats. Very important to address every student's need. Of course, that's not actually true. That's one of those fake stories on the interwebs. And Tony Dungy out there putting it out there like it's fact. And then took 2 days to take it down. Maybe Tony Dungy just hates anybody who's not straight because, you know, he's a man of God. He's a man of Christ. And the most important lesson Jesus ever taught us was love thy neighbor as thyself. He didn't say love thy neighbor as thyself unless just love thy neighbor as thyself, which clearly means Tony Dungy, like many Christians, is full of self-loathing and self-hatred. By contrast, apparently, Facebook and Instagram, they hate straight people. Because you know how there's a ban on showing the breasts on Facebook and Instagram? You're not allowed to show the bare nakeds. Twins are not allowed to be freed.
I've noticed.
If you were
yeah.
female. Apparently, they are lifting that ban, but only if you're trans or non-binary. I don't even know what the hell non-binary. But I support them.
I wish this was what's it called?
I want
this,
everybody to be happy.
I wish this policy was expanded, honestly.
To old peoples, right? Old
people,
peoples.
This is funny because they're trying to be inclusive. This is not inclusive.
No,
this is not inclusive at all.
So if you are trans or non-binary, you can free the twins. If you're straight, or maybe if you're just regular gay,
yeah,
you can't.
Yeah, yeah.
That's discrimination.
That's discrimination against, yeah, anyone who's cisgendered, a term I learned in college.
I don't even know what that means.
It just, like, you're cisgendered. Because so you're a man
means,
who
I...
You're,
so that means I identify as the...
As your
as
biological...
Assigned,
yes.
Okay. I guess I kind of understand what that is. Never change Bill's Mafia. Bill's Mafia is great entertainment because they are the epitome of what we go to the internet for. Watching stupid people do stupid things for our own amusement for free. Apparently, a Bills fan jumped into the bed of his pickup truck and fell asleep. Except it wasn't his pickup truck. And he wound up at some stranger's house. Because said stranger did not check the bed of his pickup truck and drove home with a body in the back. Fortunately, the person lived. And I say fortunately because you guys know it's cold in Buffalo, right? Not like Houston cold. Like, it's like -5 degrees. They have like 60-mile-an-hour winds and 5 feet of snow. Like,
snowstorms and yeah.
Yeah, it's not Houston winter where, oh, at night it's 30. But during the day it's like 70. Never change, Bills Mafia. Never change. And finally, is an angry, butthurt man trying to set up the great Taco Bell. An angry man went through a Taco Bell in Colorado. Wonder why, Puff Puff Pass. And claims he got violently ill because the food was tainted with rat poison, also known as arsenic, for those of you keeping score at home, and I know you are. According to the restaurant, the man was very angry about a drink fountain not working properly and demanded free stuff. So he had ordered 3 bean burritos. They gave him a 4th one for free. But that wasn't good enough. He was still angry. They actually had to call the cops to get the guy out of the building. Then he went home and mysteriously got very, very sick hours later when he... Who gets Taco Bell and then waits hours to eat it? Hell, I don't even get it home. I'm shoving it down in the car. Apparently enough rat poison was found to be very serious to the victim's health. The store manager says, "We don't carry rat poison in the restaurant." Seems like it might be a setup by an angry, paranoid, maybe drug addict who just was angry he didn't get enough free stuff because maybe the Mountain Dew Baja Blast Zero Sugar was not working properly. Something that I experienced at Taco Bell yesterday.
And when you put it like that, I kind of see a side. I want that Baja Blast. Sugar-free, sugar-full, I don't care. Give me the Baja Blast, Taco Bell.
Unfortunately,
I'll poison myself to get Baja Blast.
Unfortunately, I can't have the regular sugar. That's why I have the zero.
Yes.
Once, usually for like 1 month out of every year, you can buy Baja Blast Zero Sugar in the store. Like in the
yeah,
six
in the bottle.
Packs.
Yeah.
When they have it, I buy all of it that I can because yep. It's only out for like a month.
I'm like that. Luckily, Major Melon is year-round, but Major Melon Mountain Dew. Huh. That's the stuff right
there's
there.
There's no double entendre there whatsoever. Are you allowed to put Major Melon on Facebook as a cisgender male?
I don't know. But I grab 2 handfuls of Major Melon every time I'm at the store.
Every time. Got to use both hands. And then it goes right to the mouth. Every time. That is Garbage Time. That does it. For us on the Paul Gallant Show. I am Patrick Creighton, the advocate for Paul Gallant. And yes, I am back tonight at 7 o'clock for Late Hits. Don't forget, Saturday at 3:30, we have the Late Hits meetup on Saturday at 3:30 at Cobos Q. Joe Blank banging his way into the studio with anger and aplomb because the Killer Bees with Joe Blank and Jeremy Branham and Brian McDonald. They're next.
ESPN 98.1.